Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Moneyweb.
Now, there's some good news on the South African property market front. Home loan applications are up and first-time buyers are leading the way. Uber Home Loan's latest Uber barometer shows a clear recovery, with first-time home buyer demand climbing and banks becoming a little more willing to lend. But what is really driving the shift? And longer term, are we seeing a rebound in the property market? Or, I wonder to myself, is this just a short-lived trend? Well, she's been on the program with us before, and welcome back to Natasha Champion, Regional Sales Manager at Uber. Natasha, welcome. Thank you very much for talking to us. Your latest data shows a strong recovery in applications, as I mentioned. First of all, what's fueling this turnaround in the property market?
Thanks for having me back, Jeremy. Yes, I think, it's a perfect storm in a good way of kind of a number of factors. Those rate-sensitive first-time buyers are getting a little bit of respite in the interest rate space. And we're seeing the house price index kind of property values improving and going into positive territory for the first time in a while.
So you talk about the movement in rates, which is good news, although some critics will say we could be a little bit more generous as far as that's concerned. But first-time home buyer demand is picking up. Obviously, rates are playing a factor. But is there more of a sense of confidence in the market since the last dip?
Absolutely. I mean, I think this country's fundamentals are always driven by sentiments. And, as I say, the perfect storm, the GNU, we hold high hopes. We've had a respite from the load shedding combined with interest rates and, an element of seasonality. Summer kind of sunshine makes everything look a bit better.
Winter, though, I don't need to tell you, is not necessarily around the corner, but it is looming a little later in the year. So I guess the obvious next question then is, we're seeing a rebound, but is it sustainable, or do you think external factors like maybe a flattening out of interest rates or any other economic shift in a very volatile economy could slow things down again?
These stats are based on the last quarter of 2024. So a lot has obviously happened in the interim, geopolitically, etc. And we were hoping to see three steady rate cuts of 25 bips. MPC meets again in March and again in May. So, some of the more conservative economists are now saying there might be a hold on the next two rate reductions, and we won't see another one until July. I like to live on the sunny side of the street. I'm hoping we'll still continue to see some rate reductions. It is desperately needed. Although MPC's got the unenviable task of mitigating inflation, which is also a very real concern. So it's tricky, but South Africans do need respite, and we still feel, based on a number of factors, Jeremy, that we're going to see double-digit growth in the housing market this year.
Of course, you live on the sunny side of the street, Natasha. You're in the property industry, and that's your default position when it comes to where you want to stay. Let me tell you what worries me about this survey. The average home loan size is increasing. Now, it either means affordability is improving, and that might be the case, but perhaps the more worrying side of this is that buyers are simply taking on more debt. They've become a little more open to risk, and that can have a downside.
So, I think one needs to be cognizant of the fact that in order to qualify for a higher bond demand, there needs to be increased earnings in the mix. The banks in South Africa aren't reckless lenders by nature, and we are actually quite responsible in our lending practices by international standards. So I think it speaks to people certainly having higher earnings that are affecting the higher loan amounts. And we're also seeing higher deposits, which speaks to an element of financial responsibility from the average South African that's saving for a deposit.
Let me tell you what's also concerning, and I know you'll agree with me on this one, about how striking the regional differences are. And we've discussed this in the past, but I think the divide is becoming more stark. Western Cape continues to lead in price growth, while Johannesburg continues to lag. Again, I would imagine the reason for that is fairly obvious. But what do you think is driving that trend?
You know, Joburg is playing catch up. We're coming in from the back foot, but we're in positive territory, and I think we might see a bit of a turnaround as HQs are wanting their very expensive buildings in the Sandton CBD to be fully to be full again. So people that's emigrated kind of in the height of COVID, when remote working was reality, we might see a bit of a flip. The Western Cape remains attractive for all the reasons the Western Cape is attractive. And yeah, you know, I don't want to use the word bubble, but I don't know how sustainable that level of growth is. And particularly, I'm mindful of the average Capetonian. Come back to Joburg.
It's also interesting. You're not the first person that's told me about that return to Johannesburg, because for many people, the property market, certainly within the greater Cape Town area, is becoming completely priced out. And we're seeing a lot of move even beyond Stellenbosch into the Winelands.
So absolutely, yeah. That market is branching out to the Winelands. But I think what a lot of people that have made the move from Joburg to the Western Cape, and indeed the Garden Route, are realizing that, property aside, it's slightly more expensive to do the basic things that we enjoy in Joburg still for an affordable rate, kind of eating out, entertainment, etc. Become slightly more high ticket in those areas because there's a lot of foreign visitors.
Yeah, I mean, the eating out thing is very, very apt. I mean, I took people out in Cape Town recently and I was almost tempted to donate a kidney when the bill came. Natasha, you also talk about more and more buyers pooling resources for joint home loans. What's driving that trend? Again, maybe a sign of rising challenges within the industry. But again, that kind of deal is also fraught with its own problems, surely.
I mean, I think in the first-time buyer space particularly, we're seeing a higher prevalence of joint applications than we did before. So I don't think it's necessarily an indicator of affordability constraints. I think it might be more of a kind of a stock fell mentality. Let's pool our resources. Let's get a foot on the ladder. If we do it together, you know, we can make it happen. Certainly the challenges arise from, you know, any financial transaction that you enter into, depending on the relationship. And I mean, you don't have to be married to buy a property in this country. You can be colleagues, you can be friends, and every business and financial transaction that where the challenges present when it comes to friends embarking on anything financial would certainly apply. But legally, you know, the purchasers will be jointly and severably liable for that total debt. And they need to understand that going up front. They need to have a chat with people in the know before taking that step.
Yeah, I mean, just be very careful before you enter into that kind of deal, because I've heard of many friendships breaking down irretrievably as a result of an argument over who owns what there. Just a final one, a growing trend of something called rentvestors, first-time home buyers purchasing to rent out rather than live in. And again, I guess this is a sign of a little bit more liquidity in the market and people seeing an opportunity.
So absolutely. Just before the market turns, you'll always see people that have got kind of a growth mindset, an opportunistic mindset, an entrepreneurial mindset, and people with a finger on the pulse thinking, right, the basic economy of supply and demand, we've got a lot of stock on the market at the moment, is that going to turn as demand increases? Now's the time, the window is closing for bargains. So the rentvestors are renting themselves, but still wanting to get a foot in the property ladder, knowing that long term, it's a pretty sound investment. And so what they're doing is probably hedging their bets in terms of affordability, and certainly in some cases staying at home with mom and dad a little bit longer, purchasing property, but keeping their own monthly expenses down.
Yeah, I guess the next question is, what do mom and dad feel about it? But I don't think you necessarily need to answer that question for me. Natasha Champion, thank you very much indeed. Regional Sales Manager at Uber. Appreciate your time tonight.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.